Amen. Good morning. As the song said earlier, this is how I fight my battles. Wow. I love the praise team. One thing I love about the praise team is every song that I hear is biblically sound. You know, you can hear a good song based on the beat and harmony, but that doesn't mean it's biblical. But every song that I hear is biblically sound. Thank God. And I'm extremely thankful to God, and I'm thankful for this church family and for Pastor Carl and Sister Brenda and to all of you here in Abundant Life. Thank God for my beautiful wife, Latanya, two children over there, Chan and Deja as well, or Deja and Chan as well. I'm extremely thankful this morning, extremely thankful to God. I can spend the next 30 minutes going on the list of how many things I'm thankful for. But one of the things on that list that I'm thankful for this morning is the power and authority of the Word of God. The Word of God has power, and it has authority. And I'm so grateful that we're connected and have access to that power and authority through His Word. You know, in Psalms 107, the psalmist is talking about the Israelites' journey and how they were distressed and how they were having hard times and how they were afflicted. And then in verse 20, what it says is, this is not the sermon, but this is where I am. In verse 20, it says that God sent His Word and it healed them and it delivered them from all of their destructions. He sent His Word and it healed and it delivered. That's what the Word does for us today. It delivers us from our destruction, and it heals us. It delivers and it heals. That's what the Word of God does for us. When we think of Romans 12, 1 and 2, we think about this. Paul talks about what? Us renewing our minds. That's what happens with the Word of God and through the Word of God. We renew our minds, healing. So the Israelites are going through the Red Sea. They're being delivered, saved. That's what God did. He delivered them. He brought them out of Egypt. He delivered them, parted the Red Sea. They went through the Red Sea. He delivered them from Pharaoh. Yet, only a few of them made it into the Promised Land. He delivered them, but the problem was this. Even though they were delivered or saved from Pharaoh, from Egypt, they were not healed. So you can be delivered and not healed. You can be delivered from a tough situation, but not healed from it. You can be delivered literally from a physical situation, from a mental situation, from an emotional situation, and yet you end up going back in it. Why? Because the healing didn't take place. That's why. See, I love being saved. Being saved is fantastic. It is awesome. But in order to be a part of the abundant life in this world, you've got to be saved and healed. How are we healed? Through the Word of God. We have to be renewed in our minds. The Israelites left Egypt through the Red Sea. Our God closed the Red Sea. They were in the wilderness for 40 years, but they were never healed emotionally and mentally. How do we know that? Because every time God did something that they didn't understand, they wanted to go back. They retreated back to what they knew here. So what God is telling us through the Word of God, He delivers us, He rescues us, He saves us, but then our minds have to be renewed. If not, we will go right back in to the very thing we were trying to escape from. The Word of God delivers and heals. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharp. It's piercing. And if a man or woman, boy or girl, will open up, it'll get in their soul. It'll get into their spirit. The Word of God will get into their hearts and to their minds and to their emotions, and it would do miracles. That's what the Word of God does. That's what we get every week here at Abundant Life. Deliverance is key. But we also have to be healed. And that's a decision that all of us have to make every single day. Heal me, God, from that situation. Even though I'm out of it, heal me from it through your word. Through your word. So if we're going to be in this world, if we're going to be successful, if we're going to live the abundant life, we have to be delivered and healed. Because if we don't, we're going to be overwhelmed believers. We're going to be overwhelmed. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. I want to talk to you about the solution for the overwhelmed. The solution for the overwhelmed. If we're not careful, we'll live life overwhelmed. We'll live life and we won't experience the abundant life that Jesus and his finished work has presented to us. We'll miss out on it. We'll be overwhelmed. We'll be overcome. We'll be overpowered. We'll be overtaken in our mind and in our emotions. This is a reality. This is a reality for all of us. If we want to live the abundant life, we have to understand what it takes to overcome being overwhelmed. Well, I never get underwhelmed. Well, maybe your friend does. I'm never overwhelmed. I'm never overtaken. Well, if you can be overtaken by your job. Here's how you know that you're overwhelmed by your job. If everything in life is good, but when you think about your job, your stomach hurts. Oh, yeah. Everything is fine, but when you think about a situation that your child is going through, it takes you over. We can be overwhelmed in anything. It's a trick. What can we become overwhelmed by? Three things easily. Fear. Anxiety can overwhelm us. Worry can overwhelm us. Fear, anxiety, and worry can overwhelm us. Any one of those can overwhelm us. Any two of those can overwhelm us. All three of those combined can get us into a point of being overwhelmed. But we're believers, I know it. I know we are. But how many believers have we seen, Pastor Carl, through ministry that are saved and love God, yet they're overwhelmed and they miss out on the abundant life? That's not God's plan for us. That's not his plan for us because we have a loving Father, don't we? We have a loving Father. When the Word of God speaks in Psalm 1, when the Word of God speaks of the blessed man, he says that he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. When he's talking about that, he's talking about you. Our God wants us to be like trees planted by rivers of waters. Another translation says, we're like a tree planted by peaceful streams. Because our Father is a Father of peace. Because our Father wants his children to live peaceful lives. Not lives overwhelmed. Not lives of stressed out. Do you know that the number one reason in the United States of America for doctor's visits, the number one reason is anxiety. Fear, anxiety, worry. At the root cause of most medical conditions is fear, anxiety, and worry. Let me tell you, once we accept Christ into our lives, We're not immune. We still have to deal with it. We still have to deal with it. He says, we're like trees. We're like trees planted by rivers of waters. Another translation says that we're like a tree in Eden. You know, the Garden of Eden was a peaceful place. He wants you to live in peace. He doesn't want you to live in chaos. He wants us to represent him as our heavenly Father. And what father wants his children overwhelmed? What father wants his children in mental chaos, in emotional chaos? Not our father, not the one who fights our battles. No, he does not. Peaceful streams. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Go on down a few verses. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Wow. He leads me beside still waters. Peaceful. Peaceful. Listen, sheep can't even digest all the things that they eat until they've been laying down at peace. So we may be getting the word every Sunday. We may be hearing the word on television or on the radio. But guess what? If we don't digest it, if we don't have peace, it won't happen. It won't happen. Fear, anxiety, worry has absolutely no place in the life of the believer. No place. At no time, in any situation, should we have to be overwhelmed with fear, anxiety, or worry. So let me share this with you very quickly. Our Father, because of course we have a loving Father. Yesterday I was out cutting my grass at my house, and my son came out, and I told him, go blow the grass off the sidewalks. Well, he knows how to use the blower. It's a battery operated one. He took the battery out, charger, put the battery in the blower. He blew off the sidewalk. I didn't even look twice. Because a father would never ask his child to do something they don't know how to do. And God never commanded us to worry. He never commanded us to be in fear. He never commanded us to have anxiety. As a matter of fact, he tells us not to. Do not fear. Do not fear. The most common three words in the entire Bible. Do not fear. He tells us in Philippians, Paul, in Philippians 4, don't be anxious. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6 says, don't worry about your life. Don't even worry about tomorrow. See? Our Heavenly Father, who fights our battles, commands us not to fear, not to live in anxiety, and not to worry. Why? Because he's our Father, and he has everything under control. Everything under control. So God will never command us to do those three things. Let me tell you this. Fear, anxiety, and worry are agents and strategies used by the enemy. Comes to kill, steal, and destroy, doesn't he? See, the best way for him to take us out is for us to take ourselves out. And my people perish from a lack of knowledge. He says, I can't get to them, so I have them self-inflict. It's a strategy used by the enemy. When Satan was speaking to Eve in the garden, Adam was there, you know that. He didn't come to her physically. He spoke to her emotions. And he spoke to her mind. It wasn't just spiritual, he spoke to her mind as well. See? Deception takes place where? That's the battleground. That's the battleground. So they're agents and they're weapons of the enemy himself. So in Psalm 62, verse 3, I want to start there in verse 3. You can put up verses 1 and 2 if you want to. There you go. Let's read verse 1. David says, I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from him. Verse 2 says, he alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. That sounds like confidence, doesn't it? He sounds pretty confident when he says that. I will never be shaken. Be careful about the nevers. He says, I will never be shaken. And then verse 3, you may not have verse 3. Verse 3 says, so many enemies, all of them are trying to kill me. To them, I'm just a broken down wall or a tottering fence. In verse 4, David says, they plan to topple me from my high position. They delight in telling lies about me. They praise me to my face. Watch this. But curse me in their hearts. They praise me in my face, but curse me in their hearts. Can I tell you a little secret? Just because people are in your circle doesn't mean they're in your corner. You better believe that. You better believe that. And if you don't believe that, ask Jesus. Ask Jesus. Judas was in his circle, wasn't he? But he was not in his corner. And we're no different. David said it. David said, they smile in my face, they speak positively towards me, and they turn right around and curse me in their hearts. Yeah, everybody's in your circle. Well, I have a small circle. And? Let me tell you, the higher you go in life, the smaller that circle should become. But everybody that's in your circle is not in your corner. Not in your corner. David, and again, verses 3 and 4, David talks about how his enemies was around him. David talks about, this is later on in life, he talks about how his enemies were around them, how they wanted to kill him, how they wanted to take him down. David had every reason in the world to be overwhelmed. David had every reason on the planet to be fearful, to walk in anxiety, to worry. He had every reason possible to be overwhelmed. But he wasn't. He wasn't. He wrote the psalm. He wasn't. So David had the solution of what it takes to not be overwhelmed. He had the solution of how to overcome fear. He had the solution to how to overcome anxiety. He had the solution to how to overcome worry. Are you interested? He knew something. He knew something. And I want to share with you what David knew. David knew something. In education, you deal with adults and you deal with children. May I tell you a secret? Stress. But watch this. It's not stressful on this end, but I see adults and children dealing with fear, anxiety, and worry. Every day, I see believers who have been reconnected to Abraham's bloodline. I see believers who are heirs to the promises of Abraham, living in fear, anxiety, and worry. What is the solution? David does a few things. In verse 3 and 4 that I just read to you, the first thing I want to tell you, and this is for free, this won't come up on the screen, the first step or key to overcoming being overwhelmed is you have to know your triggers. You have to know your triggers. See, David said, so my enemies are against one man. David says, all of them are trying to kill me. David went on in verse 3 and verse 4. He said that. Now let me go back. David says, so my enemies, so many enemies against one man. David knew who they were. See, your fear, your anxiety, your worries may be over a person. When you think about that person, you shift. You're in the spirit realm. You're praising your God. And then when you think about that person, all that goes away. Don't look at me like that, y'all. Because that didn't just happen to me. David knew his trigger. He knew who, people, a person can trigger you. One person can have you overwhelmed, acting outside of your character. You can put Jesus and the things Jesus wants, you can put the fruit of the Spirit to the side when you hear and or even think about that one person or that one group. Am I right about it? Amen. David says, I know who they are, so many enemies against one man. But watch this. David says, all of them are trying to kill me. David says, I know what they're trying to do. See, it may not be a person. It may be something going on. It may not be a who. It may be a what that gets you overwhelmed. It may be a what. You woke up in the morning, this morning, everything was good, and then you turned on the news. And what you heard made you say, oh God, and you closed your Bible. Or left it open, never went back to it. Because of one thing, the what. David knew what his triggers were. He knew who could trigger him. He knew what they were trying to do. And watch this. David says, they are, to them, I'm just a broken down wall or a tottering fence. They plan to topple me. David says, I even know where they are. I even know where they are. Remember David. Remember who David was. David knew how to run. David knew how to flee. He was successful at doing that, right? King Saul tried his best to catch up with David, but never could. Yet David was watching King Saul. Could have killed him twice. Oh, David knew who his enemies were, and he knew exactly where they were. So in other words, it may be a place that makes you overwhelmed. It may be a place. You better know your triggers. Because if you don't know your triggers, the enemy does. He knows your triggers. Do you? You have to know who. You have to know what can trigger you. You have to know where something could trigger you. And then you have to know why. David knew why they were trying to do it. David was ascending. God was continuing to lift him up. He was exalted. I told you, the higher you go, the smaller that circle has to become. The higher you go, the more people see you. You can become a target. Well, I'm just, you know, this on my job. I'm not important on my job, but your influence is. Your influence is. Don't worry about the title. It's the influence that we have to have as believers. Because we're lights. Remember that? We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. The enemy knows that. And he wants you to go outside of your character to give God, your heavenly Father, a black eye. So watch this. David was able to identify his triggers. Now here's where we are. David was extremely confident. Again, he said, never will I be shaken. Never. Never will I be shaken. So let me give you the steps. There are a few steps, and then I'm out of here. Wow, looking at the clock. Whoa, it's a few steps, and then I'm out of here. David, number one, was confident in his devotion. Wow. He was confident in his devotion. David says, I wait quietly. David said in verse 7, my victory and honor comes from God, watch this, alone. David said, he is my rock. He is my refuge. Watch this. Here it is. Where no enemy can reach me. Wow. David was confident in his devotion. What are you talking about? David was the one who says, when I rise in the morning, God, I come to you. Let me tell you something. If you don't want to be overwhelmed, you better get on your knees and spend time with God before you talk to anybody every day. That has to be your morning breakfast. You have to spend time in the Word of God every day. If not, you will become overwhelmed. Listen, you can't get in war and then put on equipment. You can't do that. That doesn't work. I wouldn't want you with me. No. You have to put that equipment on daily. You have to prepare during peacetime for war. When do you prepare for war? During peacetime. Specifically when? Every morning. Every morning. Every morning. Good morning, honey. She'll say good morning. And then she goes to her space, and I go to mine. Married 25 years, but it's for a reason. Happily married. It's for a reason. Confident in our devotion. We learn things in our devotion. It's you and God alone. We learn how to wait, and we don't like waiting. We learn how to wait when we spend time with God every day. Every day. Peace. That's what our Father wants to give us. Peace I leave unto you. Peace I give unto you. Where do we get that peace? In the mornings. Not for tomorrow, for today. So you can wake up, listen, your alarm clock can go off, and you can hit the snooze button all you want to. Do not run out of that house without spending time with God. Don't do it. It's a setup. Don't do it. Don't do it. We have to be confident in our, David was confident in his devotion. The second thing was, David says, I wait quietly. I wait quietly. I wait quietly. David says, because that's when I hear my Father talk to me. That's when God speaks to me. That's when Daddy speaks to me. That's when I can personally hear God say every morning, Abba, ask me this question. Abba, ask me this question every single morning. May I father you today, Chan? Yeah, Daddy. Yeah, you can father me. You can father me today. I don't care what's on the schedule. I don't care what's on the calendar. If God is fathering you, you're good. Because I will die for those two children over there. Can I tell you a secret? Jesus already died for you. He's already died for you. He wants us to walk in the finished work of Jesus. That's what our Father wants us to do. We have to be confident in our devotion. The second one is this. We have to be confident in our position. What position? I'm his son. You're his son. You're his daughter. He's big daddy. He got you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by my daddy. See? You see why David was so confident? You see why he wasn't overwhelmed? Because he knew his daddy had his back. He knew it. He didn't think it. He knew it. He knew it in his mind. He knew it in his emotions. He knew God had his back. He knew that God was not just Almighty God. He knew that God was his Father. He knew that. Here's where we struggle. We struggle because many of us did not grow up with a godly father. And fathers give us, fathers give us our first concept of God. So if you did not grow up with a godly father, it'll be a little more challenging. Can you see it? In some instances, my two children has a better concept of God than I do, because they have a godly father. So I had to get to the point of agreeing with God's word, agreeing with the fact that he's my father. I had to get to a point of trusting him to be my father. They don't have to worry about that. You see? I wanted to bring the father thing back up in, because you know Father's Day lasts just for one day for us, and it's over. I just wanted to bring it back up and give us a little more camera time. You know? I mean, if I can go back and shift it, I'll just separate Mother's Day from Father's Day, you know, because Mother's Day's still pouring over and Father's Day hidden. You know, I'm still giving her Mother's Day gifts on Father's Day. Number three, David was confident in God's protection. He says, "My God, my victory," verse 7, "my victory and honor comes from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me." We don't have to worry about it. God protects us. What father will not protect his child? David wasn't even worried about him. Says, God got me. My dad, he's got me. Number four, David was confident in God's provision. Wow. What godly father will not provide for his children? Come on. Go back to Matthew 6 and 7 and read it again. God will take care of us. We don't have to be overwhelmed. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen, what's not going to happen. Watch this. God's provision. I don't know how I'm going to take care of that. Don't worry about it. You got your father. You got your daddy. What is David really talking about when he says, when David is, he's so confident in God's provision? Listen, the Bible clearly says the steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. David wasn't worried about tomorrow. David was just waiting on God quietly for the next set of instructions. Doesn't matter what's going on around you, just wait on God. He'll give them to you. Listen, why would you ask God, what kind of God would hold us in bondage? What type of God, what kind of father would a, if a child says, "Dad, will you help me with this?" What kind of dad would hold his arms and say, "I'm not going to do it"? That's not the type of God that we serve. He's our Abba. When we ask God for next steps, he will give us next steps if we are willing to wait quietly on him. Now, Let me dive a little deeper into that. Waiting quietly doesn't mean standing still. Waiting quietly, David's talking about his emotions. David is talking about his mind. So you can be in prayer, and you can be praying and praying and praying, but your mind is somewhere else. Am I right about it? That mind has to be at peace. I don't know what to pray for today. You pray for what's running in your mind. That's your prayer list. And the last thing is this. David was confident in his outcome. Didn't matter what was all around him. Didn't matter how many people were trying to come at him. It didn't matter about the place that triggered, that could have been a trigger, the what that could have been a trigger, the who that could have been a trigger. None of that mattered, because David knew this: I have victory. How did David know that? Because his father told him. When did he tell him? During his prayer time, during his devotion. David says in verse 1 and verse 7, my victory comes. I love that. Not my defeat. He said my victory, he didn't say my victory might come. He said my victory comes, didn't he? Regardless of everything that was going on around him, he said my victory comes. That's definite, isn't it? From God. Because he's my source. He's my rock. He's my refuge. My victory comes from God. Let me tell you something. I don't care if you're struggling with a marriage. I don't care if you're struggling with an addiction. I don't care if you're struggling with something on the inside of you. You have victory. You have victory. You can't look at it. I didn't say ignore it. David didn't ignore it, what was going on around him. But your attention has to be on your God. It has to be on your God. And I believe that because of the finished work of Jesus, I believe that because of Jesus' finished work, because he carried the chastisement of his peace was upon him. You remember that? Huh? He carried everything that could overwhelm you to the cross. Your fears carried them to the cross. Your anxieties carried them to the cross. Your worries carried them to the cross. The chastisement of our peace. He did it so we can live in peace. He was our substitute so we can live in what? Peace. But we've got to believe that. And that's what we have to stand on. That's what we have to walk in. And we have to believe it every single day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Believe it today. Believe it today. God wants us to live the abundant life. He wants us to live without being overwhelmed. And he will never ask us to do anything that we couldn't do. It's available. Peace is available. God, listen, again, and I'm done. It's available. He doesn't just want to deliver us. He wants to heal us. He wants to heal us. He wants to heal us. And if you want to be a recipient of the peace of God, just throw a hand up. You know what peace means? It means total well-being. God wants you to be whole. And he wants you to live in total well-being every single day. So if you don't mind, let's stand. Let's stand. This is a peace call. A peace call. This is a peace call. I'm not talking about peace just in this house. I'm talking about when you leave. I'm talking about in your house. I'm talking about on your job. I'm talking about in your classroom. Peace. It's a peace call. The chastisement of your peace was upon him. He did it for you. He did it for me. It's a peace call. It's a peace call. Pastor Carl, will you join me? It's a peace call. It's a peace call. If you want peace today, come up to the altar. If you desire peace today, I'm talking about total well-being. Total well-being. Total well-being. Yeah. It's your Father.
Pastor Chan, I want to just speak to this. And before you pray, I thought, well, there may be a few today that would need personal ministry after this word. But the truth is we all need it, every single one of us. So gather around. We'll just dismiss here. I'm going to ask you if you will pray the peace of God over us. Thank you.
So, Father, we come to you right now. We come to you, God, not timid, not guessing, not wondering, not ifing. We come to you with confidence that you are our Father. As a matter of fact, you said that we can come and ask you for help. So we come boldly today. We come to sit on your lap right now. And we confess to you that we have been overwhelmed. from the youngest to the oldest. Daddy, we have been overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. We have been under the attack. But now we know. And now we are confident that you are with us, that you are in us, and that you are for us. So I come right now, Father, as your son, but also as your servant. And I stand, dear God, hand in hand with Jesus, with your delegated authority. And I declare peace, dear God, over every single person that's at this altar. I declare blessings and total well-being, that your peace will flow throughout every component of their lives. In the name of Jesus, I declare that the blood of Jesus is surrounding their homes. It's surrounding their marriages. It's surrounding their relationships with their children. It's surrounding their jobs. In the name of Jesus, I declare it today. And I bind up confusion. I bind up argumentative spirits. I bind up rebellion. I bind up resistance to your word. And I loose the spirit of obedience, the spirit of devotion, the spirit of peace over their lives, oh God. Over their lives. Satan, I serve you notice that the buck stops here, that no weapon that you have formed in the way of fear, anxiety, and worry can no longer prosper in the lives of these thy people. The Lord rebuke thee. So we stand now, God, in total praise to you. We thank you in advance for your peace, for the manifestation of your peace in every component of our lives. We walk out this place healed by thy word. Now, even as we leave this place, O Lord, continue to allow us to abide in your word. For you say clearly that when we abide in your word, when we stay in your word, that the truth will set us free. So we leave this place, God, as believers, free, unified, armed, equipped, and ready, empowered to go forth out into the marketplace, out into our neighborhoods, out into the community as lights. We give you praise now, God. We give you honor, and we give you glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. We thank you for the victory, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
God. Can you give God praise this morning for this good word?
Amen.
Thank you. Pastor Chan, thank you for hearing from God for all of us today. I sensed a collective corporate relief come to the house. It hit all of us by the word of the Lord. And so, anyhow, God bless you for being a part of our great day. Thank you, Pastor Chan, Miss Tanya. Have a wonderful week. I hope to see you Thursday night at the Citywide Prayer. And again next Sunday morning. Have a great week.